This show is not intended for the politically correct or the close-minded. Enter at the risk of opening your eyes. You have been warned.
Why does the media attack an issue? To get primetime ratings?
Line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in.
The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
A moment comes when we step out from the old to the new, and when the soul of a nation, long suppressed, finds utterance.
Kind of catapult to propaganda.
You are listening to Open Eyes with your host, Ira Robinson. From the normal to the paranormal, from government cover-ups to the depths of our consciousness, we aim to explore all things. From the dawn of prehistory to current events, no topic is forbidden and nothing remains hidden.
No more secrets.
Open your eyes and open your mind to the fact that life as we know it is not as we have been taught. Join us at latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com as we take this brief journey through the depths of the cosmos and explore what it really means to be human.
Many peoples have sacrificed their liberties only to learn to their sorrow that deceit and mockery, poverty and tyranny are their reward.
Whether you're online or offline, intercontinental or intergalactic, hello and welcome to Open Eyes. This is a crazy episode of Open Eyes so far. This is actually the second time that I'm recording this episode, and I hope that it goes through this time. I'll tell you what, today has turned out to be a really interesting day so far. So today is my birthday. It's February 4th, Wednesday. Today is my birthday. Here I am, 44 years old. Sitting here at 5 o'clock in the morning, getting ready to record this show, well, for the second time now. I had already recorded it earlier this evening. And lo and behold, my computer decided to have a lot of issues with the recording that was made. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe I can recover it. Maybe I can save it. Who knows? Let's see. Let's try it out. And, well, critical failure. Nothing I could do. The audio quality of the previous recording was horrible. And there were many, many gaps within it. Most of the audio was essentially rendered useless. So here I am recording it again. Earlier tonight, I installed a new CPU into the computer because the old CPU, the fan was really messed up, and I decided, well, you know what? Today's my birthday. For a birthday present, I'm going to get myself a new CPU. And thankfully, that went in okay, but this doth but not bode well for for the birthday. So we'll see if we can get through it. You know, I look at it this way. Everything happens for a reason. Maybe this version of the recording will be better than the original one, and more people will get a lot more out of it. We'll just go with that and use that as the baseline assumption. How's that sound? Are you real willing to work that with me? Alrighty. So, as I said, today is my birthday, and it's not just my birthday, but it's also the birthday of a dear friend of mine who hangs out in the latenightinthemidlands.com chat room, Journey Home. Happy birthday to you, dear JH. I hope that it's been a good one for you and better for you so far than it has been for me. I'll tell you, it's interesting. It's weird how things happen and how things work out, but that's the way it is. So, for tonight's episode, I have a couple of topics that I feel are really important to talk about. There are a couple of subjects that I find near and dear to my heart, and I try to talk about them as much as I can with people, because I do feel that they're important. So the main topic, the one that I'll get to later in this episode, is about radical forgiveness and some of the ideas behind radical forgiveness. And the other topic that I have is about rules for living that I think break down the laws and regulations and all that kind of stuff that we have to deal with on a constant basis really well. And I think that if more people followed this idea of thinking that I'm going to put forward, I think that this world would probably be a little bit of a better place. I mean, why not? We've got so many issues already, right? So, before I get to those topics, which I'll get to after the break, after the news, I wanted to get into a couple of news stories that I found that, well, they kind of just make me shake my head in frustration, I guess, because I see this kind of thing happening a lot. And it really does, I don't really want to say upset me, because it's not too surprising, it's not too shocking, but it makes me really concerned for people all around. So the first one that I have goes like this. An eighth grade student studying Latin asked Vermont Senate leader Joe Benning to introduce a bill to give the state a Latin motto. The motto, Stella Quarta Decima Fulgiat, which translates to May the 14th Star Shine Bright, was the one that was suggested. Well, people have responded to this. And some of the responses, I've got to say, I'm not surprised. I know how people can be. But it really makes me weep for humanity. So I wanted to read some of the responses that I found to this. Now, some of these are from Facebook, from the link pointing to this article. You'll see. One comment says, "Why would anyone in their right mind even think of such a thing? If anyone of a different culture moves to a region, they need to speak the language if they plan to stay." Another one says, maybe a Muslim motto would be more appropriate. Are you kidding me? That's my question. Are you kidding me? I mean, another one, what's next? An Arab motto? We have more important things to worry about than some dumb Latinos. Okay, do you see where this is going? They're confusing Latin with Latinos. They're two completely different things. But these examples of humanity are a little confused about the subject, apparently. Another one says, and I'll read this direct. It's just as confusing with you hearing it as it is for me reading it. The motto is on the language of the foreigners trying to take over the country should be Chinese, since they are more than the Mexicans. Go back to Kenya. I don't speak atheist. I'm sorry, I don't speak gibberish. I didn't understand a thing of that. But that is exactly what the comment has to say. Another one, throw him out of the country, tell him to take Obama with him. Well, I do agree with that Obama needs to go, but to throw the eighth grader out of the country for learning Latin. next thing they will say is, we need an Arabic one. And I thought this was the United States. Why are they trying to make America Mexico? And then, this is America, not Mexico. You see, I love that one. America. They're going with the whole America. You're in America now. Speak English. We don't need no Spanish speaking Mexicans around here. This is America. Oh, come on. This is really just madness. This is a bunch of ignorant, bigoted, unthinking, and stupid madness piled onto each other. And you see this kind of stupidity all the time. And I gotta sit here and wonder, do these people really think this way? I mean, are they that uneducated that they can't tell the difference between the words Latin and Latino? I mean, obviously not. It makes me shake my head and facepalm. Seriously, it's idiocy. I think the one that I liked the best was, I don't speak atheist. These guys really need to take a look around if they have problems with Latin. I mean, what, all the species names are done in Latin. Most of the scientific terminology is done in Latin. Ingredient lists on the food is done in Latin. Latin is on our money. E pluribus unum. On and on and on. Latin is still actually very common, even if it is a dead language and no longer spoken. It's still used a lot. And the fact that these people can't tell the difference between Latin and Latino really got my goat, man. I'm telling you. Some people's kids. This is another one that I ran across that really made me shake my head. Senator Tom Tillis, Republican from North Carolina, which that's funny. Actually, I have a couple of articles that are relating to North Carolina tonight. I didn't do it intentionally. It just ended up working out that way. Anyways, Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina argued this week that restaurants should be able to opt out of health department regulations that require employees to wash their hands after using the bathroom. A quote from the senator, "We're one of the most regulated nations in the history of the planet. And think that if we go about it, oh, I'm sorry. And I think if we go about it in a common sense way, that solves a lot of problems. It makes these other big problems that we're talking about immensely more easy to solve. If restaurants choose to opt out of this policy, they will be able to, as long as they post a sign that says, we don't require our employees to wash their hands after leaving the bathroom." The issue that I have with this is the fact that, well, we really do have a lot of laws in this country. We have, just on a federal level, well over 450,000 laws and regulations on the books. That doesn't even count the individual states and towns and counties and so forth. That's just on the federal level. And that's laws and regulations. As a citizen, you are required mandated by the Supreme Court to know and understand every single one of these laws and regulations. The Supreme Court has ruled that ignorance of the law is no excuse. Except unless you are a police officer, in which case you can be claim that you are ignorant of the law and be able to violate the rights of someone who you are supposed to be protecting and serving. The Supreme Court recently ruled that police officers are sort of exempt from knowing the law. Ridiculous situation that one is. But I digress. We as citizens are responsible to know every single one of the 450,000 plus laws and regulations that are on the books. there really are too many. And I'll get into that portion of things later on in my next segment. But I wanted to say that as far as the senator's idea is concerned, starting off with deregulating the health and safety measures of not requiring employees to wash their hands after they go to the bathroom, after they then have to go deal with the public and so forth, is not the smartest idea that you could ever put forward, Mr. Senator from North Carolina. Personally, I don't like the idea of some guy going in, going to the restroom, coming back out after not washing his hands, and cutting up the lettuce that's going into my salad bar. I don't really particularly care for the appetizing image that that gives me. And if I go to a restaurant and I see a sign like that in their bathroom, I'm not going to be eating at that restaurant. I know how viruses and bacteria get passed from person to person. One of the quickest ways to do it is for someone to touch parts of themselves that are not very clean and then touch other people or touch food or countertops or whatever. You can look at me as being a little bit of a germaphobe, but I'm more of a grossophobe. I just don't care for the idea in particular, and I'm not going to go to a restaurant that has that as something that it's condoning. What restaurant in its right mind would do that? I mean, how much time does it take for someone to go to the bathroom, take 10 seconds or so to even just wash their hands underneath the water, maybe not even have to use soap, but just wash hands underneath the water or whatever? I mean, even that is at least partially acceptable. But to just say, no, they ain't got to do it anymore. No, I'm sorry. I disagree with that completely. There are a lot better places to start when it comes to deregulating the government. That ain't one of them. So another one in North Carolina, and I promise I was not looking for these. I'm sorry if you're in North Carolina, but you guys are getting hit tonight. A North Carolina middle school is under fire for sending students home from school on a cold day without their winter coats. The students apparently ran afoul of a strict uniform dress code policy at the Ranson IB Middle School in Charlotte that includes outerwear. Chandice Bates told WBTV in Charlotte that three of her children came home Tuesday without their coats and said the teacher took them because they did not match the school uniform. Spates said that at least 20 other students were sent home coatless that day for violating the dress code. She said that the students were told that if they wanted their coats back, to have their parents come up to the school. She said that her children were told that their coats were taken away because they were not the right color, hunter green. She said last year Ranson sold the coats that matched the uniform, but this year the coats were not available in the right color. On that particular day, the temperatures were in the 30s. That is a little senseless to me. Now, I will say, I mean, children are resilient, and children can, you know, the body, anybody's body, but children's bodies can learn to adapt to the cold. When you live in an area that's cold, you can adapt to the cold and maybe get away without wearing as heavy of clothing. I saw a video one time of people that are in, I believe it was Norway, and the ocean water was just about at the level of freezing. And as the waves were coming up onto the beach, the waves were instantly turning into ice as it was going. It was that cold. And you could tell who was the tourists and who were not, because the tourists are all bundled up in the heavy parkas and huge snowsuits, and the locals are walking around in shorts and t-shirts. The body can adapt to variations of temperature. But the idea with this, or what bothers me with it, is that they don't adapt that quickly. You can't be, okay, well, this child is dealing with the cold by wearing a coat and pants and so forth, to then taking them outside in the 30s and expecting that they're not going to be cold without a coat on. You know, we have this issue with the measles outbreak, which I'll get to here in a bit as well. But we have this issue with the measles outbreak, and everybody's screaming, oh, children are sick, children are sick, children are sick. We got to do something about it. And yet this school sends the kids home without their coats on. And that's a real good, quick way of getting kids sick, isn't it? Where do you draw the line with common sense, right? And I understand that the idea with this is the dress code thing is that they're trying to fight the wearing of gang colors and all of that jazz. I understand that. I get the point with it. But there's also an underlying reason that goes with this. I remember growing up going to school and never having a dress code. There was never a dress code. There certainly was never a dress uniform that had to be worn. I think I turned out okay. And I know my detractors are probably going to be sitting there saying, oh, well, there's the problem right there. He's got no discipline. He never blah, 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 blah. Sorry, guys. No, I don't think you're correct on that. But anyways, I turned out okay. I know a lot of people who never had a dress uniform, and they're okay. I mean, how many of you older guys out there like me, or girls, not being sexist, how many of you people out there went to school without a dress uniform or without a dress code and everything turned out just fine? You're not descending into anarchy and chaos. It's silly. And the reason why they do it is because they are creating a minion mentality, a lemming mentality. It's a form of brainwashing. It's a form of indoctrination. When you can get all of the students dressed in the same uniforms and walking around the classes or around the hallways and not speaking or speaking in certain ways and repeating things over and over. This is an indoctrination technique. You see, the dress uniform codes are exactly that. They are a form of indoctrination. And they're forming good little minions for the future. They lay down the pathways in the brain. The synapses are laid out so that they are more easily controlled later because they're under control as a child, you see. And this falls right in that line. It's how it goes. If this upsets you talking like this, I'm sorry, but it's what it is. It's a form of indoctrination. So this relates to a story, another one from North Carolina last year, where the principal at a North Carolina elementary school is in hot water after parents say that she forced a bunch of students outside to trudge around a dirt track for over 2 hours without hydration because they failed to wear their uniforms on the last day of school. Complaining parents say that the trouble began when their kids showed up at school in regular clothes instead of khakis and white polo shirts. The principal's response, parents allege, was to order the offending kids outside to schlep around a dirt trail on Manchester Elementary campus. The temperature was in the high 80s during this walk over 2 hours later. The high humidity also made the temperature, the air temperatures, hotter. So you have the combination of the kids walking around in 80-degree weather, high 80s, with high humidity. You can figure the heat index, especially there in North Carolina, you can figure the heat index is probably, you know, somewhere around 100. Parents say that the kids had to continue walking around until they showed up with the uniforms or just took them home. Throughout the punishment, parents said the principal did not allow the kids to come inside, and she forbade teachers from giving them water. So, again, you have this situation where, oh, well, kids are getting sick. Kids are getting sick. We have to protect them. We have to do whatever we can. And then you have the schools pulling bull crap like this. And this is not the only time that this kind of stupidity goes on. This is abject stupidity on the parts of the schools. If you think that the educators themselves are educated, you have to really take a closer look at some of the things that go on with zero tolerance policies, with this type of school uniform nonsense that goes on. This is really senseless stuff. So with this, regardless of the health of the students, regardless of any actual care about what happens to the students, you have this kind of situation. You know, I remember back when I was younger, when I was in high school, just to, not to sideline too much here, but this really does fit in with the story here. When I was in high school, one of my friends, we had to run a mile. Us guys did. The girls didn't have to. But every week we had to run a mile during gym class. And one of my friends was sick on one of the particular days. And it was a hot day. It was towards the end of the school year. It was damn hot out. You know how Indiana summers can be. And he was not feeling very good. He was sweating to death. He was pale as a ghost. And I kept trying to get the teacher to let him stop, and he kept begging the teacher to stop, you know, to let him at least stop and rest for a minute. The teacher forced him to keep trudging onwards, to keep running, and my friend dropped dead. He was dehydrated, and he was essentially, it started off as a heat stroke, and it eventually led into cardiac arrest. And by the time that anybody could get him some help, he was already gone. So I lost a friend due to stupidity on the part of some of these school administrators that go on out there. And it just, it really, really makes me livid when things like this go on. They're always screaming about protect the children, protect the children, protect the children. But they don't protect the children from themselves. Okay, so next story. They're again getting into the children portion of things. We have this whole measles outbreak that's going on. They're calling it an epidemic. 100 kids at this point have gotten the measles that is supposedly traced to the whole Disneyland debacle. Correct? Okay, so here's my thing regarding this. They're screaming about the anti-vaccine people. You've heard me talk about this a couple of times now. They're screaming about the anti-vaccine people, that it's their fault that all of this is going on. Well, I have two questions that I want to ask anybody that's out there that supports this idea that the anti-vaccine people are the ones that are responsible for this. Number one, who is it that's getting sick? Are these kids the ones that are vaccinated, or are these the unvaccinated kids? That's not being answered. Nobody's talking about that. If it's unvaccinated kids, maybe you have a valid point. But if even one of these kids is vaccinated, then your point is invalid. The second question that I want to ask is in relation to this outbreak. Why is it that in all of the areas that this outbreak is taking place, are they the same areas that the illegal immigrant children were delivered to last year? Do you remember that? Last year, they started delivering all of the children that were from different countries where the measles virus is a problem. Is an issue because of poor hygiene, because of poor nutrition, because of poor sanitation, on and on and on. It is a problem there, along with other things. But why is it that all of these outbreaks, this issue is now happening in the same areas that these children were delivered to. Nobody's asking that question. Nobody's even noticing this. You see, this is a problem. The propaganda is ramping up in a big way regarding the whole vaccine issue. Everybody's talking about it. The media is covering it like they're salivating over it. Oh, we got to talk about this. We got to get the anti-vacciners under control. We got to deal with this problem right here, right now. For the children, we have to protect them. And yet the anti-vaccine people are not necessarily even totally anti-vaccine. For instance, I understand the idea behind vaccines. I'm not saying that they maybe don't have an impact on things, but why is it that they have to have aluminum in them, a known neurotoxin? Why is it that they have to have mercury in them, a known neurotoxin? Why is it that they have to have fluoride in them, a known neurotoxin? You see, the questions are just being asked by these people. But instead of answering the questions, they're leading us down the path to make us be forced to take vaccines at the point of a gun. That's what it's coming down to. That's where they're going with it. That's where they're trying to take us. You can call that a prediction if you want to, but I can see it plain as day that that's the way that they're trying to lead us down. I'm going to fight that tooth and nail every step of the way. You can damn well bet that I'm going to be right there on the front telling you. Okay. Speaking of health issues, the New York Attorney General has ordered Walmart, GNC, Target, and Walgreens to stop selling certain herbal supplements that it says don't contain the herbal ingredient on the label, even in small amounts. The letters that were sent out by the Attorney General included statements like, there was no St. John's wort DNA identified. No plant genetic material of any sort was identified in the product labeled echinacea. Some contained allergens like wheat that were not properly labeled as well. The thing regarding supplements that I wanted to bring this up because I know that a lot of people out there are into doing the whole supplements thing, into doing the whole herbal thing. I do a lot of herbology myself. I am totally for that kind of thing, the holistic approach type idea. The problem is that a lot of companies out there see how big of a profit that they can make off of the supplements and off of the supplement industry. It really is big business. There is a lot of money that's spent in this portion of the industry, of the alternative healthcare industry especially. There are a lot of people out there that are, not that good of people, and they will do whatever they can to take advantage. They are quacks. They are putting forward products that they know are incorrect. They're shills, okay? You see it a lot in the supplement industry, mostly because the FDA does not cover those very strictly as opposed to drugs. So this is a place that they can come to make a lot of money. There's a lot of things that are put forward with it. A lot of companies out there, they run on the margins of using as small of an amount of ingredients in the product that they can while charging as much money as they possibly can to make as much profit as they can each sale it's made. That's just the capitalist system, right? Well, this is real prevalent in the supplement industry because it is not very regulated. Going back to the laws and the regulations thing. You see how I always tie all the news together? Anyways, I know a lot of you guys out there do the supplements thing, and I wanted to make you aware that the FDA has come forward with that information. I don't necessarily trust the FDA as far as I can throw them, but I will not disagree with them on this. I do know that a lot of supplements out there do fall under this category. One thing I recommend to people is if they're interested in a product that's a supplement, they could go to like Amazon.com and look up that particular product and see if it has a lot of reviews on it. People are generally going to be coming forward with at least somewhat reliable information on whether or not the product is decent or not. And it'll give you at least a little bit of a starting point to know whether or not what you're dealing with is something that is okay or not to use. In other words, don't waste your money on a placebo. Actually, take a little bit of time and do your research and figure out whether or not what you're getting is actually what you're getting. That's what it comes down to. Do your due diligence. Wow, I really messed that one up. Do your due diligence. Do your research. It's up to you. You're the only one that can do it for yourself. That's what I recommend. Always research for yourself, no matter what it is, whether it's a topic that's being discussed or whether it's something that you're putting into your body. And I would especially say whether or not it's something that you put in your body or not, because that's what's going to keep you around or not. So, guys, I am going to take a break here real quick. When we come back, I am going to speak about the three rules for easy living or simple living that I talk about to people. And I hope that you guys get a lot out of it as much as other people that I've talked to about this subject have. So stick around with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes after these messages.
Tune into The Family Factor with Denny C. every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning at 5 a.m. as he looks at all the challenges facing the family today. Denny will give you a refreshingly new look at tackling some of the biggest issues. So start your day off on the right foot with Denny C. and The Family Factor, right here on the New Spark Radio Network and K98Talk.com. Sunshine.
The L&M Radio Network and Late Night in the Midlands depends on you, the listener. Without you, there would be no us. So help us continue to bring you the best guests with the best information and subscribe today. Information on becoming an L&M subscriber can be found at the top of LateNightInTheMidlands.com. Just click the About Subscriptions tab and become part of the family while helping the truth stay alive. And while you're at it, maybe subscriptions aren't for you. A one-time donation helps as well. Click that donate button on the right side of LateNightInTheMidlands.com and help us help you.
The new priests are the purveyors of the now. The if you don't get this right now, you are doomed mindset that is surrounding us was created by these men in black. These dark masters, these puppet masters that control the strings, they, the ones with the real knowledge of how reality works, those that know and understand the origins of us, those are the ones controlling the masses through the media, through the politics, through everything that causes us to be divided, losing the sense of what is really real. That reality is that we are all connected, all together in this thought experiment that the universe is running. We are intimately connected together, forever traveling through the universe at light speed. We're all breathing the same air. The same energies pass through us. The same emotions that you feel are the same emotions that I feel. We are all one. Stop being divided by them. Stop letting the priests of chaos and blight rule you. Stop believing the lies.
Late Night in the Midlands has something for everyone. Whether you're interested in the paranormal, finding out the truth that the mainstream media tries to cover up, or aliens and UFOs, there's always a show for you here. Late Night in the Midlands with Michael Vera is on each weeknight starting at 9 p.m. Open Eyes with Ira Robinson is on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, beginning at 7 p.m. Lady Red brings you Paranormal Perceptions on Saturdays, starting at 7 p.m., followed by Riscala's Red Pill Reality Show at 9 p.m. Chris Fleischer brings you The Turning of the Wheel on Sundays, starting at 7 p.m., and Ryan Gable hosts The Secret Teachings, beginning at 9 p.m. All times are Eastern Standard Time. No matter your interests, there is a show for you here on the LNM Network. Listen live at latenightinthemidlands.com and go to the chat and listen page to participate. Late Night in the Midlands, bringing you the truth, one show at a time.
You know, one of my friends sent me that track a long time ago. It's been at least a few years. He had made that one evening and sent it to me and asked me what I thought. And I got to say, that's one of my favorite tracks ever. It really combines a lot of really good things that I like, the kind of orchestral rock, bagpipes, all that kind of stuff. It really gets the blood pumping, man. It's pretty cool. You know, if any of you guys out there have music that you've written that you'd like to see on a show like this, I would love to accept it. I am always looking for good music to play on my show, especially if it relates to things that'll help to open the mind a little bit, open the consciousness a little bit. I would love to hear what you've got. If you want to send me any of your music that I can use as a bumper music, you can send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. The only thing I ask about it is that you don't use any language, bad language. If you have vocals, that's totally fine. I totally accept that, especially if it's in regards to any of the esoteric or woo-woo kind of subjects. I'm always looking for that kind of stuff, and that stuff's kind of hard to find if you really try to find it. But no foul language, mostly because this is for public consumption and we get a lot of younger listeners. My 10-year-old daughter loves to listen to my show. So just as a for example, I know there's even younger that have listened. But the only other thing that I ask is that you make sure that you give written permission for me to use it on your show for copyright purposes. We don't always get the licensing for the things that are used, and well, we don't want to have any trouble from anybody because we get broadcast on different places. So send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com and I'll check it out. And if I like it, I'll use it. I have absolutely no problem with it. So welcome back. This is Open Eyes and my name is Ira Robinson. I hope that you're sitting down and you're ready to expand your mind a little bit with some ideas that I'm going to bring forward to you. Basically in this section of the show regarding the rules that I've discovered over my 44 years worth of time in this world, but also the idea of radical forgiveness, which I'll get into later on. What are rules? Well, we have to have rules for, I guess, various reasons. We start off kind of as a blank slate and not really have a real deep understanding of how life on this planet works. In my experience of things, you know, if you listen to my show at any time, you know and understand that I have a background that's in the paranormal. And in my experience and my dealings with the other side of things and with, if you want to call them interdimensional beings or whatever, that's fine. I don't really give them any kind of particular label. But in my dealings with things, what I've found is that the time between lives, because again, this is not the first time that we're here. It's certainly not going to be the last time that we're here. The time between lives is a very different place than this. There really isn't anything that you could say would be negative about it. In fact, one of the things that I've found over time is that the reason why we're born with amnesia regarding the other side, you know, forgetful about what the other side is all about, is because if people really knew and understood how amazing and powerful things are on the other side of things, well, we'd basically all kill ourselves to get back to it, and there'd be no point of life. The universe would not be able to expand itself by having experiences through us, and so there really wouldn't be a point of life. So we sort of forget what life is like over there, and we're born with a blank slate of sorts here, and we don't really have a concept of how reality here works or what life is about here. We're born into a duality of sorts here with the negative and the positive. And because of that, there are things that we have to learn so that we can, well, progress forward and grow. So we need a set when we're young as sort of a basis for our ethics throughout our lives. We're still learning about the world and ourselves, really. And that's a lifetime adventure in and of itself. Learning about yourself is a real experience. The question as far as rules are concerned, and well, you know, without rules, it's sort of the idea that we would fall into anarchy and chaos, essentially. As far as rules are concerned, though, one question that gets asked a lot is, well, do the rules apply to everybody? And the answer to that is no, not really. Not exactly. There are those that think that there should be a separate set of rules for those in power and control and those that are poor. One good example is in India, for example. They have the caste system there, and although it's been somewhat changed over time, especially in the past 100 years or so, there still is definitely a caste system there. And the idea with the caste system is that whatever you are born into is what you are going to remain as all of your life. If you're born poor, you're going to be poor all of your life. There's not really anything that you can do to pull yourself up out of that caste and into another one. It's just whatever you were born into is what you were meant to be born into. And so therefore that is what you are going to be no matter what. And whether that's right or wrong is neither here nor there. That's how it is. And, a lot of people look at that kind of a caste system sideways and get a little upset about it. But, you know, here in America, we have a caste system of sorts as well. We call ours the class system, but it really is essentially the same. We have the middle class, which is the average Joe out there, basically. You know, they're going to work, getting their money, coming home, and doing the whole thing all over again every day. And are at least getting by enough to be able to afford to do things. You have the poor, the lower class, and then you have the upper class. Now, the rules, you could definitely say, don't apply to everybody, even within our class system here in America, because although the rules are meant for everyone, they are disproportionately applied to those of the lower classes than they are to most of the middle and essentially all of the high class or the upper class. So, for example, you generally see a lot more police action going on in the lower class areas than you do in the middle and upper classes. And that shows that the rules are at least enforced in a different way than they are in the other classes when it comes to the lower classes of people. You have the homeless issue as another example, that the rules apply to them differently than they do to those who are not homeless. You see that I'll give a great example in Hawaii. One of the senators in Hawaii decided to take it upon himself to help the homeless by taking a sledgehammer to everything that they owned and their belongings as a method to help people. Now, that destruction of property should have been against the rules, but because he was applying something against the homeless, he was given a break. You see, so there are those out there who, get treated differently with the rules based upon their class or where they stand with things. It really is applied in different ways. Now, the religious have their own set of rules as well, right? That are separate from the secular rules. So you have, for instance, the Ten Commandments, which the Ten Commandments are this list of rules that the religious are supposed to follow. These are things handed down by God. These are the things that you're going to do. And the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments, I will say as well, are handed down, we know, from the Code of Hammurabi, which was an older set of writings, older than the Hebrew Bible. And the Ten Commandments are basically derived from that Code of Hammurabi. However, there is another set as well that that's older as well, which is the Egyptian Book of the Dead, the information in the Egyptian Book of the Dead. Now, the difference with the way that all of these are structured is that while the Code of Hammurabi and the Ten Commandments, especially the Ten Commandments, say thou shalt not do a thing. So, for instance, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not kill, you will never kill, you don't do this ever. The Egyptian Book of the Dead, the information in there, or the rules laid out there, say it in a different way. It says, I have never lied. I have never cheated. I have never stolen. So instead of saying, thou shalt not, they say, I have never. Do you see the difference? There's a very distinct difference between the two. And although you might think that it's subtle, it actually is a very powerful and potent point. When you reinforce things in a negative way, it causes people to psychologically react differently than when it's reinforced in a positive way, even in the positive or negative language that's being used. So one thing that I give as an example with it is the idea that if you tell someone not to do something, they generally are going to go ahead and do it anyway, even out of spite. Most people out there actually will do it out of spite. If you tell someone, don't you ever do this, well, screw you, I'm going to do it whether you like it or not. You see, it's a gut reaction in most people that is how they're going to respond to someone telling them, don't you ever do this. Okay. As opposed to someone saying, well, I've never done this because it's just not the right thing to do. That's a positive reinforcement with it. Again, it's subtle, but it's a psychological effect that happens on people. It impacts people on a very psychic level, on a very deep level. They subconsciously react in these ways to the presentation of the information. They're also with the way that you could look at things as well, there's also a difference between ethics and morality. So you could look at something like the Ten Commandments or the Code of Hammurabi to be a moral code. You could look at the laws and regulations here in the United States as being a moral code. You have to act in a moral way, and that's that, because that's the law. Okay. How I term ethics, and I may term it a little bit differently than what other people do, so pardon me if you're misconstruing it slightly, but to me, ethics is a matter of conscience. So An example that I give with this is a little story that I tell, and hopefully this will help you get the point clarified. So let's say, for instance, that you are a person living in World War II Germany, and there are, you know, Nazis all around, and you decide that the right thing for you to do is to help a family of Jews out by hiding them in your basement. So after a time, a German soldier or a set of soldiers comes to the door, knocks on the door, and asks you, are you hiding Jews in this house? Well, morality, in other words, the code of laws, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not bear false witness, don't you ever lie, says that the answer that you have to give is the truth. You have to tell that soldier that those Jews are there in your basement because God commands you to obey the law to never lie, period. And that is different than having basically a set of ethics that says, well, under this circumstance, it is okay to lie because it's for the protection of these people as well as for myself. Because if you were to reveal that you were hiding Jews there, you're just as destined for the concentration camp as they are because you're harboring Jews. Do you see the difference between the two? The one says it's literally a matter of, if you're of the Christian belief, for instance, it's literally a matter of holding a gun to your head and saying, don't you ever do this under any circumstances, or you're going to go into the pit of hell if you follow that particular dogma of the Christian religion, which I'll get to in a future episode. That's an important one. But the gun is held to your head saying, don't you ever do this because this is the absolute law. And if you do tell the lie, even if it is for a greater good, then you are just as damned as if you told the lie to protect your interests or to get away with cheating on your wife or whatever the case may be. You're in just as much trouble for each one because they're both viewed the same in the eyes of God, at least according again to the teachings. But do you see the difference between the two? That's the difference basically between morality and ethics, and the difference between when rules should or shouldn't be followed. So again, the code of ethics, like based on, for instance, the Egyptian Book of the Dead, would say, I have never lied in order to, you know, for my own self-serving interests, basically, or anything along those lines. It's a matter of conscience. Your conscience says to you, in this circumstance, it's okay to lie because it's for the protection of these other people. Does that make sense to you? Okay. So the problem with the rules is that when it comes to when they should or shouldn't be applied is very liberal. But a lot of people out there think that they're above the rules. You see this a lot when it comes to, let's say, members of Congress who vote themselves a raise, a pay raise. Okay, let's vote into place that we're going to get a raise of 10% per year. You know, these people, they go in there, they vote themselves a pay raise, and they not only get that pay raise for that year, but literally every year for the rest of their lives. That's being above the rules. We couldn't do that. We in the masses, we couldn't do that. You couldn't go to your boss and say, well, you know what? We came to a vote that said that you're going to raise our pay by 10%. Okay, see you later. Have a great weekend. See you back here on Monday. That doesn't work that way. Real life doesn't work that way. That's not the rules that are followed, you see. But some people think that they're above the rules. They think that they're above the law. And politicians are especially guilty of doing this kind of thing. Take a look at Obamacare again, for instance, that everybody else is subject to have to follow the same insurance policies because of Obamacare being put into place. And yet the Congress voted themselves exempted from that particular law. And they get free health care for the rest of their lives, which is on the scale of the best health care that can possibly achieved above the rules. The president, Ovamit, is currently in litigation in front of the Supreme Court here in a couple of months. They're actually going to be deciding whether or not the president is literally above the law. Whether or not he has the right and the ability to pick and choose which laws he can or does not want to follow. Literally deciding if he's above the law. So yes, some people think that they are above the law, and a lot of people actually do get away with it because none of the rest of us do what we need to do to enforce the rules. There are too many rules. I mean, as I kind of alluded to earlier in the news segment, there are currently, just in the United States alone and just on a federal level, over 450,000 rules that are on the books. And you're responsible to know all of them. And each and every year, they vote in at least 300 new ones. And on average, they usually do 1,000, 1,500, or 2,000 new laws that we have to be required to follow. Did you memorize your 1,500 new laws that were put into place as of January 1st of this year? I certainly didn't. I ain't got time for that. And again, that's not even counting regulations. And we're responsible to know them all. And a lot of people out there, too, think that authority is law. And a lot of authority figures out there think that they are the law. It reminds me of Judge Dredd. I am the law. It really is that way. A lot of police officers fall under, and soldiers too, but a lot of police officers fall under that category that they think that they are above the law because they are the authority. They are the authority figure. So whatever law they want to claim is the one that they have to follow. And while we, the great unwashed masses, are responsible to know all of the laws that are on the books, the police officers can get away with not knowing any of them because they can just claim that they were ignorant of the law, and the Supreme Court let them get away with it. They just voted that into place like 2 months ago, that if a police officer claims that they were ignorant of the law that they were breaking, then they don't have to be held liable for it. Excuse me. So, the police officers, there was a survey that was put out by a police officer for other police officers that asked questions in relation to the police officer's knowledge of the law and how they enforce the law. One of the questions that this officer asked was, did you ever read the Constitution? And 25% of the respondents said no, they had never read the Constitution. 20% of the people that did say that they read the Constitution said that they don't remember what was in the Constitution. So these police officers who are responsible for enforcing the law and protecting our rights, our constitutional rights, they're responsible for defending our constitutional rights. They don't even know what's in the damn Constitution. So how are they supposed to be able to enforce our rights. You see, but then they look at everybody as if they are the ones that are the authority, and people fall into line saying, oh yes, master, we will obey you because you're wearing that uniform. Look, I don't care what kind of uniform you're wearing, whether or not you're a soldier or a police officer, or you're wearing a three-piece suit because you're a CEO. I don't care who you are. I don't have inherent respect for you unless you've done something to earn my respect. It's as simple as that. And I wish more people would be that way. But unfortunately, a lot of people out there follow the tenet that if the person's wearing a uniform, then you have to respect them. Authority is not law, or, you know, it really is not. Authority is not the epitome of the law, and they can't make their own rules. So what are my three simple rules? Well, the three rules, if people were to follow these three simple rules for easy living, I think that we'd see a lot less problems in the world. Okay, so the first one is that you have the free will to do anything that you want to do. Now, before you start pulling out the pitchforks and throwing them at me, let me get through the rest so that you can understand where I'm coming from. The second rule counters the first. The second rule is that you can do nothing to interfere with the free will of another person. So you have the free will to steal my Xbox, but my free will says, I don't want you to steal my Xbox because that's my Xbox. I don't want to lose it. So you have to follow the second rule that says you're not going to interfere with somebody else. You see, it's a way of counteracting each other. You can do anything that you want to do up to the point where you are causing harm to another person or where you're interfering with their life in any way. So as an example, if you don't care for the fact that this person over here is gay and they want to get married to the person that they want to be with, that's not your concern. You don't have the ability to interfere in their free will to do what it is that they want to do to be happy. It's not your business. Now, the third rule is that you have to take personal responsibility for all of your actions. And I think that one actually really is the most important one. And it's one that it seems like people just don't learn anymore. Nobody really takes responsibility for themselves or their actions. They don't take responsibility for the things that they say or do that causes harm to another person. And that kind of falls into the forgiveness thing that I'm going to get to here after the break, which I'm going to get to in just a moment. But the fact is that if people took responsibility for the actions that they do, for the things that they say, for the hurts that they cause other people, this world really would be a vastly different place. But not a lot of people have that responsibility anymore. And most people are looking at the world like it's a silver platter, and they're holding out their hands, getting ready to take whatever it is that they want to take. That's not what life is about. It's about learning lessons, and it's about interacting with other people on a deep soul level, you see. They're kind of learning the wrong way with it all. So responsibility, personal responsibility. If you do something wrong, own it. And if you do something right, own up to it. You see, maybe I said that backwards. Anyways, you get the idea. Whatever it is that you do, take responsibility for it because it's yours. And it's just the right way to do. It's just the right thing to do. Your conscience is telling you that that's how it is. And it knows the best. So, guys, what do you think about my rules? What do you think about the things that I've put forward here with this? I'm kind of curious to know. If you want to send an email to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com and let me know how bad I did on it. Let me know. I'm curious. Anyways, we're going to take this break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about radical forgiveness and some of the ways that I think that people should really start interacting with other people and hopefully make a big difference in people's lives. So stick around with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
The Late Night in the Midlands Radio Network is deeply devoted to you, the listener. We feel it is necessary to bring you all of the information that you can use in your life. Each and every day, you will find something to listen to here. And whether you come away from the shows informed, inspired, or entertained, it is our passion. We don't bow to corporations, and we don't have handlers to tell us what not to talk about. We bring you everything. Late Night in the Midlands, however, is fully listener-supported. We need your help to stay on the air and to make sure that we get the bills paid. We need your help to keep the truth alive. If you feel that you have gotten anything out of Late Night in the Midlands, we would appreciate your support. You can become a subscriber and help us out on a monthly basis, or if you'd like, a one-time donation is fully appreciated as well. Every year, the average household in America spends over $3,000 on entertainment alone. If you could help us with just a tiny fraction of that amount, you would make all of the difference. Go to latenightinthemidlands.com and click on the subscribe button. Thank you, and as always, keep yourself informed. Open Eyes is dedicated to finding the truth in all matters. We are not afraid to be politically incorrect or to ask questions. Whether it is the paranormal, government cover-ups, the dark agenda that the puppet masters have in store for us, or aliens and UFOs, nothing remains hidden. Listen to Open Eyes, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com. Open hearts, open minds, open eyes.
Have you been looking for answers? Have you been seeking the truth but can't seem to find it? Late Night in the Midlands has the answers for you. Whether you are interested in the paranormal, aliens and UFOs, alternative health information, or just a little hope and inspiration, we have a show for you. Late Night in the Midlands, Open Eyes, The Red Pill Reality Show, The Secret Teachings, Paranormal Perceptions, and The Turning of the Wheel. All here on the L&M Network for you to listen to at any time that you want. Everything is free to listen to. And though it is not required, we are listener supported, and all donations are deeply appreciated. You will not find shows like these in the mainstream media. Go to latenightinthemidlands.com to listen. The L&M Network, where the truth has no fear.
Thank you.
You know, a song like that really gets my imagination going. I used to do a lot of writing, and I still do actually, of science fiction and fantasy stories. I love listening to music like that whenever I would write, because it really helped me get my imagination fired up and going. And it's really nice. That one was from a group called Everlasting Dream. It was a song called Awakening. And I love that kind of stuff, man. I really do. I hope that you've been enjoying the different music that I've brought to you guys. I've been bringing you stuff that I run across or that I've found over the years that I've found to be really uplifting and mind expanding, at least in some ways. It's amazing to me how music can really make a difference to your mood, how it can make a difference to the way that your mind thinks. It's really weird, isn't it? If you think about it, but I love it. So, hi guys, welcome again. This is Ira Robinson, and you're listening to Open Eyes. In this segment of things, I wanted to speak to you guys about, a topic that I think is really important for people to understand, because it's something that impacts, all of us. I know it's impacted me in my life, and it really has had a deep impact on people that I've spoken to about this subject in the ways that I'm going to speak to you tonight. And I hope that it helps you guys out in the long run. The subject is radical forgiveness. And before I get started on that, I wanted to bring you an audio clip that I ran across that really fits into this topic well. This is from a 9-year-old boy who goes by the name of Kid President on YouTube. And this was from one of his videos. And it's 20 things to say more often. I think if a lot more people followed this kind of way of thinking, we'd see a very different place, a vastly different place in this world.
20 things we should say more often. Number 20, thank you. And not just on Thanksgiving, every day. Number 19, excuse me. Number 18, here's a surprise corn dog that I bought you because you're my friend. There'll be more corn dogs, more happy people. This is a good idea. Corn dog for you, corn dog for you, corn dog for you. Number 17, I'm sorry. Number 16, I forgive you. Number 15, you can do it! But don't say it if it's something I can't do. Number 14, another thing that we should say more often, I have barbecue sauce in my shirt too. Before you say something about the barbecue sauce on somebody else's shirt, take a look at the barbecue sauce on your own shirt. Number 13, please. Number 12, everything is going to be okay. Number 11, oh, you got me a corn dog too? You shouldn't have, buddy. Number 10, I don't know. I know a lot of people who need to say that. My sister. Number 9. You're so awesome, I named my dog after you. Wait. That could hurt someone's feelings. I mean, boat. I named my boat after you. Wait, who even has a boat? You're so awesome, I legally changed my name to yours. Wait, that's super creepy. And just tell people they're awesome and mean it. Number 8. Hello, person I never met before. Here's a high five. Number 7. My sports team is not always the best sports team. It takes a big man to say that. Number 6. Nothing. Sometimes that's the best thing you can say. Number 5. That doesn't mean anything, but it's just really funny. Number 4. I disagree with you, but I still like you as a person who is a human being, and I'll treat you like that. Because if I didn't, it would make everything bad, and that's what lots of people do, and it's lame. Whew, I need a water break, y'all. It's okay to disagree, but it's not okay to be mean. Number 3. Sometimes you just gotta scream. Number 2. Life is tough, but so are you. Sometimes we all need to be reminded to keep going. Number 1, something nice, anything, If you can't think of anything nice to say, you're not thinking hard enough. Oh, and I got a bonus one for you. Something that we should say more often? Let's dance!
We should definitely say let's dance a lot more often. That's something I totally agree with. And the more corn dogs thing. Today's my birthday, so I want my birthday corn dog. Anyways, I thought that was a really good one to bring tonight because, well, you know, a lot of times we are hurt by the things that people say and the things that people do to us. And we carry those hurts with us, well, for a really long time. The idea of forgiveness, it falls into the problems of the mind. Lately on my show, I've been talking a little bit about the idea of the insane mind and some of the things that we have to deal with because of it. And if you haven't heard anything that I've said regarding all of that, if you've missed those previous shows, I'll go over it here real quick so that you can have a baseline of understanding. The mind, to put it quite simply, is insane. And I'm not saying the brain, but the mind, the way that the mind works. The mind is all about survival. It's very good at doing that one singular thing, keeping you alive for just another moment, basically. It will do everything that it can do, literally, to make sure that whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that your present circumstances are, the emotions that you feel, the stresses that you're under, the relationships that you're in, and the dynamics that are there with them, it's going to do everything that it can do to not change those things. Because according to the way that the mind thinks, if you were to change any of those things, you're going to die. It's all about survival. If anything changes, you're going to die. That's the way that it tries to look at the world, basically. So if you do anything different, it's going to bring about changes to your status quo, and you're going to die. It's going to end your life, at least so it thinks. So what does this have to do with forgiveness? Well, the essence of forgiveness is change. It's what brings about new things, whether for yourself or for the other person. Something's going to change in the dynamic between you. So forgiveness is at its core as anti-mind as you can get. Let me go into some deep esoteric truth here with you. Forgiveness is not about the other person. It's never about them. Forgiveness is about you. It's for you, not for them. You see, what someone else thinks or does to you is their business. It's not yours. How you react to it is. In other words, if I thought that you were a jerk, that's my business, not yours. If I tell you that you're a jerk, that's on me, not you. That's my karmic price to pay. I believe in karma, at least of a type, not the way that people normally think of karma. But I do believe that a form of karma exists. I'll get into that in another episode. But that's for me, you know, that, that karmic, debt is on me, not you. But how you react to my calling you and thinking of you as a jerk is your business. That's on you, not me. Forgiveness is like our spiritual steam release valve. It's about releasing the anger, the hate, the hurts, anything that the other person did to us, what they made us feel. It's so that we can get away from it, be cleansed from it, you know, kind of clean our auras of it. So, so we don't have to have that, that corrupting force on us anymore. But the mind being insane and wanting us to not change anything, or we're going to die right now, has a hard time dealing with true forgiveness. And most people, when they think forgiveness, are really doing nothing more than paying lip service to it. They'll say, well, yes, I forgive you. But they really are thinking in their minds, I'm going to say this so that the situation eases up, but I'm never actually going to let this go. Do you see the difference? True forgiveness is absolute. You let it all go, every bit of it. That it's like love. People say that they love. They say that they understand what love is. But by and large, the masses of people out there, or the majority of people out there, don't understand what true love really is, what love absolute really is, and what it's all about. With love, there are no buts. And most people will say, well, I love you, but there are things that you need to change. Or, I love you, but I don't really like the way that you do this or that. I love you, but you need to change your clothes. They always toss in that but, or I'll forgive you if you do this or that. You see, there's always conditions that are attached to most people's idea of love. But love, there, with true love, there is no buts to it. It's either you love or you don't. There is no in between. There is no trying. So it's like Yoda, you know, do or do not. There is no try. It's like that. I'm sorry about the bad Yoda voice there. I have a little bit of a stuffy nose going. Anyways, so it's like that, though. There is no trying with love. It's either love or not love. Most people, when they think of love, it's another emotion that maybe has the same flavor of love, but it's not actually love. And the idea with forgiveness is the same way. People pay lip service to the idea of forgiveness, and they'll try forgiveness. I've heard a lot of people over the years say, well, I try to forgive them, but blah, 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 blah. No, you haven't forgiven them, and you're not even in the same category as forgiving the other person. You see, there is no trying to forgive. You either forgive or you don't. It's just that simple. There is no real in between with it. Now, that doesn't mean forgiving someone doesn't mean that you forget what happened. You don't forget it. You don't let them stomp all over you again. But it does mean letting go of the emotional attachment that you have to the the action or the act. The best way to start down the path of forgiveness is to say the words, thank you. Seriously. Thank the people that have caused you harm. Thank the people that have hurt you for what they did, because it taught you something. Even if that thing is that you're never going to allow them to hurt you, or never allow someone else to hurt you in the way that you were hurt, that's still a lesson learned. That's still something that you have now known that you didn't know before. And you can be grateful for that lesson, because you're never going to allow it to happen to you again. It was still a learning experience, and you can progress forward because of it. That's how you get out of the negative emotions and into something that's more positive, or at least more balanced out. You don't even have to think them out loud. I mean, just do it in the quiet part of your mind and of your soul, and just really mean it. If you say it aloud to them, it really is very cathartic. But you don't always have the opportunity to do so. Sometimes we're carrying hurts on us that are from our distant pasts, and you no longer have contact with the people, or maybe they passed away or something like that. You don't have to thank them in person. You don't have to say, hey, thank you. If you do, it really is that much better. I mean, I've done that in my own life, where I've gone to people and said, you know, hey, thanks for all the lessons that you've taught me over the years. Thanks for everything that we've been through, because I learned the lessons from you. And I meant it. And I smiled at them the whole time. And I meant that smile with them. I was happy for it. I was grateful for it. And as I walk away from them, I can feel the confusion coming off of them. You know, I'm empathic. I can feel the confusion coming off of them. And they're just like, what the hell was that all about? And I'm sure even some of them still today are thinking to themselves, what the hell did Ira mean by that when he said thank you that day? I've done nothing but crap all over that guy, you know? But that really is the way that things work when it comes to true forgiveness. It really can be very cathartic. The other aspect to it is that, well, not the other, but another aspect to it is that it can really radically shift the way that your mind thinks and the way that your life progresses from that point forward. In my life, I've had a lot of traumatic experiences. I've lived 44 years of life on this planet, on this go-around, and I've probably had more trauma happen in my life than most people do in 3 lifetimes. I've really been through a lot. I've been to hell and back at least a couple of times. I'm sure you out there, a lot of you out there, know the feeling. And a lot of you probably are carrying a lot of trauma and scars on you from everything that you've gone through. But for me, although I have the perfect capability of being really miserable because I've been through so much, I'm sitting here, poor as you can be. I'm blind. I can't see more than a couple of inches past the front of my face. I have health issues. I've got a wife that has heart problems. I've got issues. You know, I've got all different kinds of health issues. I have every excuse in the world to be a miserable person. You know, I've got a son with autism, and so on and so forth. And yet I am the happiest person that people could ever meet. And I get told that all the time. How can you be so happy? Look at the things that you've got going on. How can you be so happy? And it's like, it's because I practice this way of thinking with things. And I'm not being egotistical or anything, but it really has made a vast difference in my life since I've started to look at life in this way. I haven't always done so. I am very grateful for everything that I've gone through because it's led me to this moment in time. It's led me to the joy and happiness that I have in my life at this point. I have a wife who loves and adores me, who does anything that she can to make me happy, who is the best thing that I have ever encountered in my life. And I love that woman to death. And I know that she feels the same way about me. You see, it's a very deep love and affection and happiness. I have a lot of joys in my life that I really appreciate and I'm really grateful for. And if I was to hold on to any of the negativity from the things that I've gone through in the past, it would diminish what I have now with the people that I have in my life and with the feelings that I have inside. It would mean that there were things that I regret about what I've gone through, and therefore I'm not as at peace and as happy as I truly am. You see what I mean? It diminishes the goods that you have when you still cling to the negatives, because negative and positive cannot exist at the same potency in the same moment of time. Love and fear can't exist in the same moment of time. You can either love or you can fear. It's the same thing. So for me, practicing this type of living really has made all the difference in my life. And I hope that in the things that I'm speaking here, that it works the same way for you. So what it comes down to, as I said, forgiveness is about you and not them. It really is never about them. You have to do what you can to move past the emotional traumas and the scars that you carry so that you're actually not being impacted by them at every turn. If you've been hurt in the past, you know how much it can affect every single relationship that you have in the future. But the reason why it has such a foothold on you is because you've never stepped out of the insane mind. You've never stepped out of the survival instinct and given the true forgiveness for whatever happened to you. You don't have to live subjected to that insane mind. You can break free from it and start living your life the way that you would really like to live it. Again, I give myself as an example with it. I'm living the life that I would like to live. I'm happy. And what more can you ask for, right? I'm happy. I'm in love. And that's everything I could ever want. You can be free of those emotional traumas and the bonds that you carry with you to the other person that has hurt you. I mean, think about that for a minute. Someone that hurt you now has full control over everything that you do. Do you really want that person having that much control over you? I mean, they would probably laugh at the whole situation. I know that's how it would be with me. I'm speaking about this stuff from the perspective of someone who has been in an abusive relationship. The person who abused me would laugh like crazy if they knew how their hurting me had impacted me so much. They'd get a sick pride out of it. And I'm sure it'd be that way with the people that have hurt you as well. I mean, you don't have to live that way. There really is another way to do things. I guess for me, the ideas that I'm putting forward here, this idea of radical forgiveness is something that I don't really hear many people speaking about. They'll say, well, forgiveness is important, but they don't really go into why forgiveness is important, or they don't really go into the methods to be able to start progressing forward into a forgiveness kind of a mindset. And that attitude of gratitude that you can put forward in the idea that, hey, look at your life and see what's in your life right now that you're happy about. Look at what's in your life right now and see what you're happy about. And this really can make a big difference. I mean, you know, if you're, and I'll get to actually to the idea of something in Christianity specifically here in a moment, but when I was speaking about the rules earlier, the idea that was put forward by Christ was that the most important things were to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself, to love other people as yourself, as if they were you see. And most people kind of gloss over those passages that are there in the Bible. And that really is one of the most important aspects of the Bible, is that forgiveness was given easily by Christ. He kind of practiced this same kind of methodology. He was trying to teach people the same kind of idea that you have to love someone enough to forgive them of everything, to absolve them of everything. That is, you know, forgiveness is really an aspect of love. He was a pretty radical guy, right? I mean, I actually think that the reason why the scribes and the Pharisees wanted to have him killed was not because he was claiming to be God, but that it was because he was, which he didn't, by the way. But it was because he put forward these radical ideas that oh, well, the whole of law just says love God and love everybody else as if they're yourself. You know, do unto others as they would have you do unto you. And that was kind of a radical idea as far as the priests and the scribes were concerned, because for them, they were those hypocrites who were saying, you guys have to follow all these laws. And Christ himself said, you are the ones that are leading people into hell because you're putting forth all these things that the people are supposed to obey and they can't. Even you couldn't do it. And you're the one that's telling them to do it. So Christ gave one prayer out in the Bible, at least in the Bible as we know it right now. And that's the Lord's Prayer that he gave on the Mount of Olives. And so because it's the only one that he gave, you would think that that's an important one and that maybe there's things that are within it that are kind of important to hear, right? Well, one of the things that's in it is the idea that when he said, forgive us as we forgive others. Breaking it down, you know, forgive us this day our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, right? I'm sure you know the Lord's Prayer. Okay, so anyways, what most people don't understand about that section of the Lord's Prayer is that you're actually almost kind of cursing yourself in a way. Because what you're doing is you're telling God, Father, I want you to forgive me in the same way that I forgive others. You see, that's what the wording there means. If you go into the original translations of everything, that's what the words are saying. Forgive us in the same way, by the same nature that we forgive others. So when you say, forgive me, please, and you don't forgive the other person, you're still holding on to resentments or hatreds to that other person and not actually forgiving them, even if you say that you are. That's the same way that God is going to treat you as well, because you're telling him that that's how you want him to treat you. You're telling him flat out, forgive me as I forgive others. Not at the same time that I forgive others, but in the same way that I forgive others. And it's a little bit of a trap that most Christians out there don't have a clue about. And you've got to be careful, because you guys are following these rules. You guys are following what God has told you to do. Christ himself said, this is the prayer to pray. You're kind of putting yourself into the this stuff, even if you don't realize what it is that you're saying. That's why it's so important, and why I always advocate, if you're going to follow a religion, then do it wholeheartedly and know everything that you can about it. This is one of those cases, you see, because in those phrasings there, the original language of it is, forgive me as I forgive them. Forgive me in the same way that I'm forgiving them. So if you're holding on to resentments with other people, the person that you're praying to, God, is not going to forgive you, because you're breaking the promise there, you see. Do your research on it. Figure it out for yourself that that's exactly what it is that's being said there. Now, as a final note, because I'm almost out of time here, but as a final note, I want to make sure to get this out as well. The most important person to forgive is yourself. And I think that's a great place to end this whole thing. The most important person to forgive is yourself. And maybe that's even going to be the hardest to forgive. And maybe that's why it is such an important aspect. Because if you can learn to forgive yourself, you can learn to forgive other people. No matter what it is that you've done in your life, no matter what it is that you've gone through in your life, it has led you to this moment in time, and you are the person that you are now because of everything that you've been through. And that is really important to know and understand. Forgiving yourself is not only the most important, but it's probably going to be the easiest first step. So thank yourself for everything that you've gone through, because it's been the only life that you're going to remember. So with that, folks, I am out of time. If you want to, and I really don't want to be, I loved this topic, and I want to talk about it more, but time. I'm going to have to tell Michael I think that I'm going to go 4-5 days a week. I'm getting to that point. Anyways, if you want to send me an email, you can send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. If you want to go to the show notes for this show, which I'll have all the links to the news stories and the things that I've talked about here, go to openeyesnetwork.com/OE067. You can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Open Eyes Network or Ira Robinson. And today's Wednesday, on Friday, I'm going to be talking about some religious issues, and I hope that you tune in for it. That's going to start at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on LateNightInTheMidlands.com. Be sure to stick around. Michael Vera and Ryan Gable are going to bring you the last frequency here in just a few minutes. It's going to be a really good one, I think. So guys, until next time, keep safe out there and have fun, and thank you for listening. Practice that radical forgiveness. Be radical about it. Be like Christ. He was definitely a radical himself. Love it. Anyways, keep safe out there and have fun. Thank you. Remember, tune in Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, LateNightInTheMidlands.com.